78
Portions
degrees.
Of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning.
And we're back.
Storm warning in effect through this evening, and gale warning in effect from this evening through Sunday morning. It doesn't look like you should be going out there tomorrow morning either. This weekend's just a blowout. I know there's a lot of things going on this weekend, too, that's going to be canceled, you know, rescheduled, whatever you want to call it.
What's the percent chance of rain for tomorrow?
I don't know. I have to look at that again. I thought they would show it.
But it says slight chance of showers Sunday.
But
that wind ain't lighting up.
As far as this goes, it's showing a slight chance of showers, but from what the you know, National Weather Service and also, gosh, I can't even think, National Weather Service and the Weather Channel and places like that are showing it kind of higher, you know. Tomorrow morning, they're showing it till about, let's see, Sunday. Yeah, till about probably 5 or 6 a.m. It's, 25, then 17%, and then it comes on down after 6 a.m. So, looking at the radar and how fast it's running, that's probably about right, you know. I know I talked about my yard needing water real bad, but I think it's already got enough. But anyway, we've got some more coming. 8 o'clock is supposed to be 94%, 10 o'clock, 99%, 11 o'clock, 96%. So, you know, it looks like we got, you know, quite a bit of rain coming. So, anyway, hopefully everybody's safe. And, you know, I know a lot of people, the Coast Guard has told me, you know, when I was in constant contact with the Coast Guard a lot, you know, they've told me that it really doesn't matter what the weather is, there are some people that's going to go in the water. And you know, and I realize that on the weekend like that, you know if you're working during the week, you only have the weekends or holiday. But there's no use in putting your life at danger. I mean, it's, and how fun can it be anyway, you know what I mean, to get out there in this mess.
You know, what a J series Carolina skiff.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's flat bottom.
Yeah, I saw one of those out in the jetties over there by the jetties, fishing one of the El Cheapo tournament. I don't remember; it's been a while back. They were out there, and the waves must have been 6-7 feet. One minute you couldn't see them, and the next minute you could. You know, one of those things.
Yeah.
And they were out there in swells like that with that little boat. Like you said, they're going to, people go out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, to me, it's just not worth it, you know, because of the, you know, the danger of it. But, you know, like I say, the Coast Guard says, you know, they could call for 8 to 10 foot seas and somebody will go offshore. You know, they're like, well, you know, small craft advisory, I've got a big boat. I've got a 30 foot boat. But they don't realize the small craft, according to the Coast Guard, is a 20-meter boat, 66 feet. That's anything under 66 feet is a small craft. So, I mean, that's you might think you got a big boat at 30 feet, but that's still, you know, it can toss you around out there quite a bit. But I just hope people stay safe and all. I just hate to see that. But like I say, the Coast Guard says it doesn't matter if it's 8 to 10 foot. You know, forecasters, somebody's going to go out there, you know, and they're going to have to go out there and get them.
I spoke to somebody one time. He thought that that small craft was airplanes.
No.
You don't want to, they say small craft advisory. Yeah, that means every planes, boats, whatever. You don't want to be out there.
You know, that's a Marine Corps guess.
Yeah,
small
right.
Craft advisory, you know, so, but, Yeah.
But if you got that kind of wind, it's in a small aircraft. My neighbor, has a small plane, and he let me fly it with him one time. And I'm gonna tell you, we didn't have much crosswind, very little wind. But I was trying to land it all with a crosswind.
Mm-hmm.
That's harder than you think.
I would imagine.
I mean, for somebody that's never flown an airplane before. I mean, I had no trouble getting it up, getting the plane up and circle around. But when you were landing, that was different.
Yeah. I would imagine. I don't know, because I've never been in a small airplane like that. The smallest one is we flew from here to, was it Dallas or Houston? I can't remember. Anyway, we flew from here to say probably was Houston, Texas, and then we got on a small plane, and I think it was called Braniff Airlines, if I remember right, and went from there to San Antonio, Texas, which is where Lackland Air Force Base, you know, the boot camp for the Air Force is. And when we got on that plane, I swear I could see the wind, the wings flapping, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's how it was helping us. I was in a big bird, the wings were moving so much, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so I got to where I wouldn't even look outside, you know. Of course, we was on a big jet.
They flex.
Yeah, we was on a big jet going over, you know. But, we got in there, I would say, those wings was flapping. I'm like, man, this looks like a bird trying to fly. So I just started looking elsewhere. I didn't look outside. Didn't want to see it. But that's the smallest plane I've been on. And it was a prop plane, but it was – I don't know. It probably held, I'm going to say, 80 people or so, you know, 75, 80 people. It wasn't one of these big ones like they have nowadays.
Well, you know, there's some science to that. What you're talking about, what the Coast Guard said about, you put out an advisory, there's people still going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have read a story where this hotel next to the ocean was there was getting a lot of windows broke out on the lower floors, and what had happened is people was getting out on the balcony and trying to cast from the balcony out to the water, and of course it would fall short or whatever reason, backlash or whatever. Yeah. And then the sinker would swing around and smash the glass out on the floors lower down. Well, they had signs in there that said no fishing from the balcony. Yeah. No fishing. But yet it kept happening. And the guy says, "How do I stop this?" And he says, "Take your signs down." No fit. Don't even put no sign. No fishing from the balcony up. Just take them down. And then I guess it didn't cross their mind to fish from the balcony.
Oh wow!
So he said it dropped a lot.
You got to be pretty lazy to want to sit up on a balcony and fish. I mean, you know, that is not a fisherman. You know, that's
wanting to fish pretty bad.
That's a wannabe fisherman. Maybe they were doing that when it was raining or something. I don't know. But that's I'd rather fish under an umbrella or something. But, we're going to talk about some speckled perch fishing when we come back. And I know you were talking about more than the minnows. You like to troll with the beetle spins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we'll kind of talk about that some more. When's the last time you were in
Lock Lusa? Let's see, it was... About two years ago.
But did it have any weeds in it, any hydrilla or anything?
Just a little bit up and around. A lot of there was lily pads and very little hydrilla. I didn't see any hydrilla.
Yeah, they've been trying to get a handle on it in some of these lakes, and especially those shallower lakes where the sun can kind of get down deep, you know, hit the bottom. Wherever the sun can hit, that hydrilla can grow. But we'll be back after this.
Cross Moss Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. So, you know, looking at this water temperature dropping like this, it's so funny. I mean, we have an above ground pool. It's had it for years and years. It's not an in ground pool, you know, I couldn't afford that, but, above ground pool, but you know, the water temperature in that is about the same as it is in lakes around Northeast Florida. And that's so weird to me. Because, I mean, you got water that's up out of the ground, you know. But anyway, it's within a 1 or 2 degrees always of what lake water is. And I see that water's dropping quite a bit. So I know the lakes have to be dropping quite a bit too, which is, you know, hopefully going to fire off the crappie or special speckled perch, whichever, you know, you call them. But, you know, Crescent Lake, Dead Lake. Lock Lusa, Orange Lake, and Little Orange Lake. A lot of people don't fish Little Orange Lake. That it's pretty shallow, but there are some bass and speckled perch in that thing. There are some brim in there, the biggest brim I've ever seen. And see, my father-in-law had a place, you know, on Little Orange down there in Hawthorne. And you have Orange Lake and Little Orange. Well, he was on Little Orange. And we would catch some of those brim out there, and of course we'd catch them on the dock, and he was like, that's my fish, you can't keep them, you know. But you know, we'd catch them, and we'd take a pair of pliers and mash the barb down where the hook would come right out of that, tearing them up, and sit there and catch them. Like I said, that was some of the biggest brim I've ever seen personally, you know. And there's not very many boats that fish it, and they have a boat ramp on that lake, but a public boat ramp. And but there's like nobody fishes it. And I guess that's Orange Lake, that's right there in Hawthorne. I'm not sure. Right on the left as you're going through Hawthorne. Of course, they got a public boat ramp there too. But, and then, you know, of course, Lake Lock Lusa is right in that same area, not very far from there. But, that was my dad loved the Lock Lusa and Dead Lake and Crescent Lake, Lake George, but he never did fish Orange or Little Orange. We didn't do that when I was growing up, and I don't know what the reasons were. you know, for that, maybe he just knew, you know, from friends or whatever, fishing wasn't as good in there. But I tell you, Little Orange Lake, if I had my choice, I'd go back there and fish that again.
There are a lot of lily pads in there, Little Orange Lake.
Mm-hmm. And they're not too thick. I mean, they're just around the edges and stuff, you know.
Yeah. My uncle, Doy Peacock, took me out there in his little old John boat. And I remember going through this little creek to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I can't remember because it's been so many years ago. We went through this little creek and got in there, and then it opened up into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And there was lily pads, and we just sat there and fished lily pads and just killed the brim. And boy, I mean, he liked catching those big old brim. That's what he liked.
Yeah, there's some pretty nice bass in Little Orange Johnson. Mm-hmm. I've caught them in there, and but like I said, I haven't fished there. You know, since my in-laws passed away, we haven't been back down there. And I haven't fished off his dock or anything down there, but. There's some pretty good fish down there, I'd be down there on the weekends, you know, and because like on a Saturday, I didn't work on Saturdays because I'd come in and do the show, but you wouldn't see but maybe one or two boats, or you wouldn't even hear but one or two boats over the whole lake. And I thought, man, there's no fishing pressure here, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, so, you know, maybe people think this is Little Orange Lake is little, so maybe they think there's no, you know, no big fish in it, but there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, these ponds and some of these,
mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about, I haven't seen any come out of Crystal Springs Pond, but mm-hmm. a friend of mine has a pond in his housing development. He goes out and he shows me pictures all the time, these mm-hmm. big bass he catches out there.
Yeah.
There's some big bass in those little ponds.
There is. Mm-hmm.
But going back to my uncle, he liked fishing with those minnows
mm-hmm.
and just drop the minnows down inside the little gaps in the...
That's what we... Yeah. That's what my dad loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can catch pretty good bass on there, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. And my son, Jeffrey, he's what they call sculling. You know what that is? Well, anyway, what I gather that is like a little, he gets this rod with this little, about a 10 inch or maybe a 12 inch leader on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. No reel. And he'd go up in these creeks, and on the end of that, little short leader, he has a lure on there, and he just dips it down in and around all the cover.
Mm.
There's so much cover that you can't fish with a rod and a reel around.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fish with a reel because he's going to get you hung up. But what you do is that line is pretty heavy. So when he gets the bite, he just pulls him out real quick with it and just puts him right in the boat.
And what now, do they call that again?
I'm trying to... I think he called it sculling. I can't remember, but I got that name in my head. But anyway, he's just drop that in there, and then when that fish latches onto it, he just snatches him out of the hole with it. And I thought that was pretty interesting. It ain't no bigger than
mm-hmm.
a foot to 18 inches, the leader. That's about it.
Yeah. We used to... You know, my dad would get the boat going, not fast, of course, but just, you know, get the momentum of the boat going like I do when I fish flood of grass, and then just turn the boat off and, you know, turn the motor off and raise it up, and you just kind of
coast into
go up into the lily pads, you know, and then that way you give it about 15, 20 minutes, and then you start fishing around in there, and, you know, because you're going to disturb them a little bit when you first come in there. Mm-hmm. But like you're talking about, we would look, see which areas had, you know, the bigger gaps in between them. And, you know, and the bass that we've caught on the cane poles like that, with the little floats. I mean, you'd be surprised how big a bass get up in there. But I guess they're eating the small brim, speckled perch, mm-hmm. minnows and stuff like that. just hanging around there. But that's what he used to like. He didn't use beetle spins doing that. Now, we've used these little things that look like a beetle spin called a Panther Martin. Mm-hmm. And we did that in Lake Santa Fe. You know, he lived on Big Lake Santa Fe. And so we would troll those. And we troll them, like, just outside the trees, or there was a couple of canals in there where you could go in there and it opened up wider where you could make a U-turn and come back out. So we would troll them up and down in there, too. But, you know, years ago, when, matter of fact, when Brooklyn Lake right there was going to Keystone, when it started going dry, Lake Santa Fe, you know, in Keystone Heights, it dropped a lot. I mean, and it got to where he couldn't even, you know, he had to get his boat out of where he was at and put it back on the trailer. And then when he wanted to go fishing, he'd go down to the boat ramp and launch it. There's a public boat. Well, there's two public boat ramps. There's one on Little Lake Santa Fe and one in Melrose on the south end of Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. And so he would, you know, do that. He would launch it and go fishing out there then. But trolling those little beetle spins, I mean, it's just amazing the fish that'll hit that thing on the move. Mm-hmm. And we weren't trolling with the trolling motor. We were trolling with a 60-horse Evinrude two-cycle motor that is not quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't seem to bother him. That's what I was trolling with that old. You've seen my little 15-horse Evinrude two-cycle. I had it on the little small boat I used to have. And I trolled with it. Probably about 1.5 miles an hour, 2 miles on just the idle.
Yeah.
And it would, the wash, I just let out the beetle spins out to the end of the wash and a couple just past it.
Mm-hmm.
And just troll around.
Yeah.
And you'll pick up a mess of them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
With just a beetle spin.
We weren't, you know, when we drifted for speckled perch, I mean, we would put a couple of poles out, you know, each one of us, but I watch sometimes you see two guys and there's 25 poles sticking out of a boat, you know, all the way around it. And that kind of tickles me. It looks like you'd lose more fish than what you catch, you know, but, it amazes me that there's, you know, they can control that many poles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to have just, you know, we'd put out a couple of poles and that way you could pick up one or the other. And, but that's him and I love to do that, drifting around there. And then at night, we go out there and use these little poppers and put it on the cane pole and get on the dock of the fish camp where we were camped at. And you go out there and pop the surface of the water. And it catch some pretty nice brim doing that. But we threw out there one time, threw out there one time, and I got this speckled perch. I thought it was a big old bass. It was so hard to get in with that cane pole, you know, and finally got him up there. And my dad said, don't, you know, cause we just lifted him up. We didn't net him there, you know, cause we were just catching brim. And my dad was like, don't lift him out of the water, pull him over there to the bank, slide him up on the bank. He was the largest crappie I've ever caught, you know.
Their mouth's so tender.
Yeah.
That's thin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could lift them up in the boat. I got a little small net that mm-hmm. I use to just pick them up.
Yeah, we would always net them.
I don't lose a lot of them trying to pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Now, the brim, we wouldn't. You know, the brim was fine. We didn't worry about those, you know.
Well, if you get them right in the roof of the mouth, right in the middle,
mm-hmm.
it's okay, but most of the time you don't always get it there.
Nope. And like you say, they sure got a weak mouth.
That's true. And yeah. I was using a chartreuse greenish color.
Chartreuse is what Jim Hammond and I used over there at Benville Plantation and catch a speckled perch for his
TV show. With a silver spinner?
I think it might have been silver. I don't know. That's been a lot of years ago. Anyway, 222-8255. Tell me if you're a speckled perch fisherman and what lakes you would like to go to. We'll be back after that.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM, the conservative voice of Jacksonville. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. The House approving that $1 trillion package of road and other infrastructure projects, vote coming late last night. America's employer stepping up hiring in October, adding 531,000 jobs. Friday's report from the Labor Department shows the unemployment rate fell to 4.6% last month. It's down from 4.8% in September. At least 8 people are dead, many others injured. That following a crowd surge at a music festival last night in Houston. It is that time of year, at least in most of the United States. We begin daylight saving time. Actually, we drop daylight saving time Sunday morning at 2. That's local time. Set the clocks back 1 hour and get an extra hour of sleep. This is SRN News.
Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence.
I deployed with the U.S. Army in 2003. I've been in 8 different IED explosions. I don't know how many gunfights we've been in. 5.5 years of combat, it takes its toll on you. A lot of cumulative experience and trauma.
Canines for Warriors pairs specially trained service dogs with vets in need.
You know, the thing I can tell you about my dog is his eyes have that perfect amount of judgment, but also that perfect amount of love. And no matter what I do, he just looks at me like I'm either an idiot or I'm the best thing in the world. He's my cranky old man, and I love him.
Your generosity will go right to work to help pair a struggling warrior with a shelter dog trained to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Give your best gift today by going to caninesforwarriors.org.
Hey, fellow homeowners, interest rates could be on the rise, so don't miss this window of opportunity. Take advantage of today's historically low rates when you call Purpose Funding. You can save up to $750 per month on your monthly mortgage payment. Skip up to 2 months of payments and close in as little as 15 days. That's extra money put right back into your pocket through the holiday season. They'll show you how to save lots of money by paying off high-interest debt and use that savings to pay your home off quickly. Call the trusted experts at Purpose Funding today and speak to a knowledgeable agent. The consultation is free, but your savings could be substantial. Just 15 minutes is all it takes. Call Purpose Funding today. 888-991-1890. 888-991-1890. You could save as much as $750 per month on your monthly mortgage. Skip up to 2 months of mortgage payments and close in as little as 15 days. Call 888-991-1890 or purposefunding.com. Purpose Funding. NMLS number 273299.
Hi, folks. This is Martin Parlato, and I host the Lighthouse Retirement Hour right here in Jacksonville on WBOB AM 600 and FM 101.1. Parts 1 and 2, Saturdays at noon, and again, Sunday morning starting at 9. Did those guys on the other radio show sell you a bunch of non-publicly traded REITs or energy programs or a bunch of other illiquid investments? Let's find out how bad their work really was and how much commission they made at your expense. Head over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com, click the blue button, and then you're going to know everything you need to know.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Windy with showers today and a high near 54. Tonight, more chance of showers with temperatures dropping to around 48 degrees. And as for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 66. As for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, mostly sunny with temperatures ranging between the upper 60s and the lower 70s. And as for Thursday and Friday, chance of showers, partly cloudy, with highs reaching 78 degrees.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Let's get Kevin on the line. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vic.
How you
good
doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
It's Ted.
Yeah, I'm at this morning, 6 o'clock. I got all my fishing clothes on, and I'm sitting on the back porch listening to the Still Just Fishing Show.
All right. Can't think of a better way to do.
Got your fishing clothes on.
Yes, I mean, my fishing, you know, I fish every Friday and Saturday, and usually I'm listening to your show, you know, right at 6, I'm in the car on the way to B&M Bait and Tackle.
There you go.
You know, and I'm listening to your show. I never get to call in. So yesterday I headed down the same way, and I knew I probably wasn't going to fish, but I went ahead and stopped and bought a little bait and went to the marina, and then, of course, you know, common sense prevailed. But I'm just like that guy the Coast Guard talks about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they people shake their head, can't believe I'm going out, you know, on some of the days I go. But, yeah, even I had some sense to me yesterday, you know, when I saw what it looked like out there.
Yeah.
Taylor said he went out in a kayak in the hurricane.
There's a video he put on his Facebook page, and this is, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. But he was in his kayak trying to paddle, and it was, man, it was blowing, storming, rain, and he's, you know, taking a video of himself. I'm like,
that's
wow.
That's holding the fish pretty bad.
Especially in a kayak.
Besides, yeah, I've rescued a few of those kayakers out there a few times.
Yeah, what size boat you got, Kevin?
It's just a 17-foot Scout.
Mm-hmm.
What a 115 Yamaha.
Oh, wow. 115 on that should move.
It really does. It's a wonderful little boat. And I tell you, you know, I've been fishing the same area, you know, all these years. I'm 67 now, but, you know, I fished since I got to Jacksonville about 86. And sometimes I wish I could explore new areas a little better. You know, I end up on the water for like 4 hours, and I end up going to a lot of the same areas. I tend to fish from the jetties to maybe Beach Boulevard Bridge, you know, on the intercoastal. And I used to see you all the time, Captain Vic, at the little jetties in your when you had your Carolina skiff.
Yeah, I miss that thing, that 23-foot Carolina's gift, semi-V.
I'd be next to you. You know, I can't tell you how many times we fish next to each other out there.
Yeah, I miss that boat, especially when I go up in the shallows. I don't miss the ride of it now that I have the Seabourn. The Seabourn is, man, it takes the waves so good. But I don't miss it there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell you, I wanted to ask you. Saturday before last, you know, we had a high tide, and I was fishing an area. I fished many times over by the rocks in the intercoastal around the Wonderbird area. And, you know, I threw a Cajun Thunder with a shrimp, and I got a massive hit, and it came out of the water. And I hadn't, you know, it ran with my line like a big jack, and it snapped me off.
Oh, wow.
But when it first hit the Cajun Thunder, it came out of the water. It had a dark silver or gray look to it. And I wondered if it was a tarpon, because I'd never caught a tarpon before.
Sure could have been. Did he? Yeah. He jumped right when he, like, took off with the float?
Yeah, right when he it was like a reaction strike. I threw the float right in the corner. And he hit it and come out of the water more or less at the same time, and went down and ran way faster than a redfish would run, you know.
Yes.
It ran like a big jack, but it normally a jack wouldn't come out of the water, I don't think.
No, not normally. Now, sometimes a bluefish will, but, you know, but I bet you had a tarpon hooked up there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had. That's the one fish I hadn't ever caught around here, is a tarpon.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I know a lot of people that really want to catch that tarpon. You know, and to me, I mean, there's some easier ways to do it and stuff. I mean, you can catch them in Mill Cove. You know, you can catch them. Matter of fact, you can catch them in Clapboard Creek. They get up in there, but. I guess the easiest ways to do it is get out there in that mullet run, around the jetties and stuff and catch them, you know, put your mullet on a Cajun Thunder or pogies, either one, and drift it down the rocks out there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm kind of over that tarpon fishing myself, and now I still like to catch bull reds. There's just something about that. I still like to catch them, but I don't know, the tarpon and like sharks and stuff that you're going to have to fight for 30 minutes to an hour. Yeah. I'm just over that, you know.
Yeah, me, I am too. You know, I don't want to fight a fish that big, and I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah, because I'm a little older than you, so, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, I've done it, and it's, you know, that's already been on my bucket list and gone, and, you know, I've been able to do it, and, you know, but I can see where, you know, if you've never caught one, what you'd like probably to do is catch one that's about 40 pounds. See, that's a lot better than catching one at the jetties, which are about 120 pounds. You know, yeah, so if you can catch one like up in Clapboard, or, I mean, there's places in Intercoastal off and on, but Clapboard Creek is a good place they get in there. I understand they're down there just in Trout River, too, but some of the smaller ones I'm talking about. And they're fun. You know, they'll give you a good show. If you had that one, if you kept that one hooked up, I mean, he would jump for, you know, if they're not real big, they'll jump, you know, 3 to 5 times. But if they're real big, sometimes I've had them jump once and then just bulldog down. I've also had them where you hook it up and you think, oh, boy, this is a big bull red. And then you get him up and it's a tarpon has never jumped. So, you know. Yeah, so they'll fool you. But you ever fish Clapboard area?
You know, I've been up there several times, and I saw a tarpon roll, I believe. You know, again, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, it rolled.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, went in Clapboard past the restaurant, right?
Yes.
And kept going up to where it turns to the left.
Yeah,
it's real deep there.
Yeah, and if you didn't turn to the left, but, I mean, slow down a lot.
Right.
But if you didn't turn to the left right there but went straight, it gets real shallow over there. Mm-hmm. And so on the edge of that flat into that deeper area you're talking about, there's tarpon rolling there a lot. I mean, I've caught quite a few in there.
That's where Jeffrey caught his.
Is it? Yeah. And, of course, they're not in there now, but, you know.
It's mainly the summertime, I guess.
Huh? Yes, sir. Usually about the end of May, you know, all the way through October. Now, but this right now, that water temperature is chilling down fast because of our nighttime lows and all. And, you know, I think the ones that have been here like 2 weeks ago, whatever, I think they're gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, Vic, you know, I fished up in there several times, and I just haven't done well up in there yet, and so that's why I haven't been back. You know, I get frustrated. You know, I'm only out there for 4 hours or so, and, you know, I have a hard time finding new spots.
Right.
But, you know, I went up in there several weekends in a row and just never really did very well.
Where do you launch at?
Well, I go out of Mayport Marine. Morningstar?
Yes, sir.
Marina? Yeah, I've been in that marina for a long time.
When you get in those creeks, and when you want to explore, try to go into a creek like 30 minutes to an hour before low tide. That way, if you get stuck on the bottom, you're floating again in 45 minutes or whatever.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not like running up on a sandbar real hard. But go in there and fish that incoming tide and just fish, you know, ease around there and fish different sides, different creeks and all that, and learn where those oyster beds are. And that's the best way to learn them is go in there at low tide. That way when you come back, you know, and if you fish that creek, go in there, you know, the next time you go fishing, just go in there for 30 minutes to 45 minutes and try that too. That's the way you're going to find you some new areas.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Vic.
All right, Kevin.
Great to talk to you.
Appreciate the call. Hope to hear from you again.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
I got And we're back with one more segment now, so might as well leave it plugged in over there now.
Time is flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was what I saw. Yeah, one more segment. I know last week I was saying, give us a call, and then I was, it's over. So sometimes it does go really, really quick, you know. But, yeah, you got a few minutes if somebody wants to call. But, now I'm anxious to get out there and throw some X-Wraps and Bomber Long A for these trout. I'm just so anxious to do that. And did you see Taylor got second place in that tournament?
That's awesome.
I know. I'm so proud of him.
Yes.
And so glad he got the second place. And he was leading for a while, you know. And the guy that won first place was only ounces.
Yeah, I was going to say, what, just a few ounces?
Yeah, wasn't bad at all. I mean, Taylor was up there, though, so that was good.
Good for him.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. He picked a place. He was telling me, you know, that he's the one that said, let's go over here and fish, you know. And
I know Chip won Chip Davis won a trout tournament one time, didn't he? Wasn't that the same? Was that the same tournament?
I don't think so, because this one hadn't been going on that long.
Okay.
I think the trout tournament Chip won was kind of years ago, you know.
I know he was showing me pictures of that whenever I worked at the hospital with him.
Mm. Yeah, and don't forget, you know, flounder season will open up December 1st, which I know that sounds like it's quite a ways away, but it'll be here before you know it. And then on the 4th is when the Flounder Pounder tournament is going to be this year. And I don't know, he's going to try it this year and maybe have to move it to right before the season closes, or maybe keep it the first week of December. Depends on how it runs, you know.
Is it going to be at that marina there on beach?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So, and I'm sure he'll have the captain's meeting on Thursday like he always does, you know.
That's a good spot there.
I don't know if they'll have a regular captain's meeting or just one that, like they had the trout tournament, they didn't really have a captain's meeting. You just come, picked up your bag, your number, you know, and that's, you know, because of the COVID, that's what they've kind of switched to. So, you know, people's having to change up a little bit. But I imagine that's changed these tournaments quite a bit, you know.
Any new tournaments coming on other than the El Cheapo in February?
Yeah, the Flounder Pounder.
Flounder Pounder in December.
And then, the El Cheapo may be in March, you know, this past year it was in March. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, that's the only two tournaments that I'm aware of besides like club tournaments, you know, little, you know, have to be a member to a club to fish in some of the club tournaments. But that's the only two tournaments that I'm aware of right now. Gosh, I keep thinking about this time of the year is good for crappie fishing and all that. But then again, I'm so excited. I can't wait to get out there and try to get those trout on lures. I just love the way trout hit lures, you know.
It's yeah, I'd prefer that.
Can't wait for now, that you know, and the sheep's head.
Well, I have to admit, that drift fishing was fun. It was pretty cool, too. Mm-hmm. But, yes, the action is better on a
lot stronger pull. Yeah, a lot stronger pull, too. But, yes, you know, and also with the fiddlers and the sheep's head. So I hope the bait shops, you know, I hope we have not a super, super cold winter, but, you know, a lot of freezes, because that way the bait shops can have fiddlers most of the time, you know. But that's another thing of trying to buy, you know, enough fiddlers to last whenever they run out. Sometimes it's hard to keep them, depending on how cold it gets. But
there's some, I believe there's some bait stores south. You can order them, mm-hmm. and they'll mail them to you.
Yeah,
I mean, I believe most of them would live if you did it mm-hmm. overnight or something like
yeah.
that.
Well, and actually, I had gotten some. A friend of mine had ordered them for me, and they were supposed to be, gosh, I forget, something like 10,000 in a box or something. I forget what it was. Maybe it was less than that, and I can't remember. But it was a square box come by UPS, and it's really weird because I don't know how they pack them in like they do, because there's no holes in that box, and they're packed in there so much. He told me, he says, you better have it holding it over a cooler. He said, a 5-gallon bucket won't do it because, you know, but hold it over a cooler when you, you know, cut the tape off and open that thing up. And when I did that, it looked like somebody was like pushing that box from the bottom. Then things just, you know, it was like an overflow of water coming out of that box. And I mean, it looks like they were compacted in there. There was so many. I mean, I cut that tape and flipped those flaps open, and I mean, it just come pouring.
You wonder how they could stay alive.
Yeah, well, that plus like how do they get that many in there? You know, to get them packed like that. I guess there must be so many wherever they're packing. They put the box in there and close it up in there, or maybe chill them down where they won't move as fast. I don't know how they do it, but I was shocked at that. And of course, I had having that.
But how you keep 10,000 alive?
Yeah, that was just too many.
That was a lot.
Yeah, that was just too many. And it may have been 1,000, you know, 5,000. I don't know how many was in there, 2,000 or whatever. But I know there was a lot, and I did lose quite a few of them trying to keep them alive for, you know, the next week.
Yeah, and you're a master of doing that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good about keeping them alive, even when it's really freezing cold. I've got one of those little lights. It's a trouble light you use around the house or whatever, and it's got a clip on it where you can clip it on mm-hmm. a board or a door or whatever. And I just open the live well and clip it on to where the light's up above the live well where you're not cooking them, and only have a 40-watt bulb in, because all you want to do is just keep them from freezing. You know, you don't mm-hmm. you don't want to keep them, try to get them 72 degrees or nothing like that. You just want to keep them from freezing. And and of course, when I put my boat in there and crank up, you know, to tilt it a little bit to drain it after I wash it out, the little bit of water I put in my live well is all on one side, and so the other side is dry. So it's not like they're you know, down in the water where you have to use an aerator or something, mm-hmm. you know. But
you just keep just enough water, like what?
Just so they can wet their gills.
Quarter of an inch or so yeah. in the bottom?
Mm-hmm. Just where they can wet their gills. They have gills that they have to wet with salt water, you know, several times a day, or maybe at least a couple of times. And, you know, sometimes that's, you know, that's why I have those buckets with the holes in them, too.
Mm-hmm.
I can go out there and just dip them whenever, every now and then, you know, and then let the water run out the holes. because if you notice, whenever you have them in a coffee can or a milk jug or whatever, by about noon or so, you start losing them. You know, they're getting too dry. And so even if you're doing that with a bucket or something that doesn't have any holes in it, just add you a little bit of water in there. Don't cover them up because they'll suffocate. They'll run out of oxygen in the water and suffocate.
Salt water, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's got to be salt water. Yeah. So don't rinse them off with fresh water. But, yeah, it's getting to be sheephead season when everybody starts catching them like they're catching them now. I can't wait to get out there myself. And, hopefully I'll be out there pretty soon.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
I am. And go to your Facebook, Still Just Fishing page.
Still Just Fishing Show Facebook page. Still Just Fishing Show. And now I won't have these pictures on just yet, but because he's got quite a few pictures, and I'll put those on there, and pictures of your truck too. But and then if you're interested in the boat, you know, I don't know what you're asking for, but
Just call me if you're interested, and I'll go over it with you.
But it's got a lot of extras on it, you know, the depth finder, the trolling motor, especially that Rodan. The Rodan trolling motor is not cheap, but that's a GPS trolling motor. Very powerful. And like I say again, the trailer I like, the steps on the front of it. That's just so cool, you know.
I do too. But my son did a good job on that.
But I'll have his phone number also on the page, so you can give him a call if you're interested in it. And you'll see from the photos, it's a nice clean boat. So
yep, every time I took it out, it got a bath every time.
Yeah, you got to take care of them things, especially
rinse
in salt
that motor
water.
Out, yep.
Yeah, especially in salt water because, you know, it's we've talked about how a lot of people don't realize that they have the zinc sacrificial plates, that, you know, corrosion plates. They also have them inside those motors in the water jackets and stuff.
Oh, this is a saltwater series, by the way. It's a Polar 19-foot saltwater series.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to mention. So is the motor. So
okay. Yeah, instead of just sending the pictures, you might want to send that to me, Tim.
Well, you can't see it. The saltwater series stamp, the wrap covers it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. But that is a cool wrap. Can't miss it, especially when you're on the water. So anyway, here's the music.
It's already over.
I know, that quick.
Man.
I wouldn't tell anybody to call me now.
Well, you can. I don't know if they get it in here. Get that call in there.
I know it. But anyway, we'll be back next week.
Had a great time. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I'm going to try to get Brett up here one day, from the Fish Bites Outpost. And get him up here and be on the show one day, too. So he'll have a lot of good information also. So we'll be here next week. Tune us in. Give us a call. We'll be back.
Bye-bye.
Then.